Hey, good morning. It's Patricia Murphy. It's Tuesday. This is Seattle Now. Elections for Seattle City Council are still a couple of months out, but we now know exactly who's running. And boy, is it chaotic. Like 45 people chaotic. KUOW's politics editor Kat Smith is here to give us a rundown of what we know so far and what to keep in mind if you're looking at candidates in your district. But first, here's what's coming up this week. The hearing relating to federal oversight of the Seattle Police Department begins today. The city and the U.S. Justice Department requested an end to most of the oversight earlier this year. U.S. District Judge James Robart will determine whether SPD is in substantial compliance with a consent decree brought on by an investigation that found evidence of biased policing and excessive use of force. The Seattle Times reports that a data researcher found that police killings in Seattle went up during the period of federal oversight and sent that data to Robart ahead of the hearing. All eyes will be on Amazon this week as employees in Seattle may walk out tomorrow afternoon. They're protesting recent layoffs, the return to office mandate, and concerns about the company's climate commitments. Organizers told the Seattle Times the walkout hinges on 1,000 employees opting in. A corporate worker based in LA told CNN the company morale is really at an all-time low right now. Organizers are reportedly focused on in-person walkouts here in Seattle, but have also provided options for workers in other cities to join in. And heads up, if you're looking to park at SeaTac Airport Garage, parking rates are going up starting Thursday. New rates for general parking will be $8 an hour. That's up from $6 an hour. Daily parking will be moving to $37 an hour. That's up from $34. And it'll cost you $222 a week after Thursday. The airport says increases are to cover the costs of short-term parking, including the city of SeaTac's commercial parking tax. Seattle has a big election coming up this year. 7 of 9 city council seats will be on the ballot, and 4 of those seats are open races with no incumbent. Bottom line, there are a lot of new candidates for voters to consider as the primary election approaches this August. 45 people have officially filed to run. There are 10 potential candidates in District 5 where I live. I have a lot of work to do if I want to make my best choice. And chances are you're in the same situation and you'll need to spend some time finding out who these new candidates are and what they stand for before you vote. We are so fortunate to have Kat Smith here to help us out. She's the politics editor at KUOW and she surveyed this year's candidates to get a picture of who's running and what issues they're running on. Kat, really glad you're here. Thank you for helping us wade through this.
Thank you for having me and thoughts and prayers to you in District 5 and everyone else in your district having to wade through 10 candidates. Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, a lot of work ahead of me. Before we dig into the details here, this is a lot of information. You have a monster spreadsheet on these candidates. What prompted you to take this on?
Why did I do this to myself? I'm fairly new to the city. I moved here a year ago, and this is the first time I'm covering a city council election in Seattle. And I know that it's a thing here. A lot of people run for city council. And so just as a relative newcomer, I was sitting at my desk just thinking, like, how am I going to get my head around all of these people? There's so many. This is so chaotic. Like, before one enters the Thunderdome, must one stretch? Should I? Like, how do you prepare for this? So I made a list of all the candidates, and then I made a list of everything that I knew. And then I made a list of all the things that I wanted to know, and that was way bigger than everything else. So I was just like, all right, I got to start reading as much as I can and talking to as many of these people as I possibly can. And most of them wanted to talk. It was great.
Fantastic. And, you know, 45 feels like a lot of candidates. Is it actually unusual, though?
No, I mean, I think it's pretty normal. In fact, I think the number of people who are running this time is a little bit less than the last comparable election that was in 2019. There were 55 people on the ballot. So it is chaotic, but it's less chaotic than it has been, I guess.
Okay. All right. Good perspective. You interviewed 38 of the 45 candidates running for a city council seat. What patterns are you seeing in who decided to step up and make a bid?
Yeah, I asked all the candidates to give me some basic demographic information about who they are. And what I learned from that was the candidates are majority white and majority male. Roughly a third of them are women, and a quarter of the candidates identify as non-binary or LGBTQ. The oldest one is 65, and the youngest is 19 years old. Aww. His name is Luca Murdoch Howard. He's a college student in District 5. That's North Seattle, where you live, Trish. Mm-hmm. And he still lives with his mom. He's 19. and the vast majority of these people who are running, they're first-time candidates. They've never run before. And in a race where there are only three of the seven incumbents are running for re-election, you know, people see this as a real opportunity to create some big change on the council.
I love that there's a 19-year-old running, and I don't mean to say awe in a diminutive way. That is strong for a 19-year-old to get out there early. Good on you. Councilmember Shama Sawant is one of the people stepping down from her office, and she's a socialist, which was a huge part of her initial appeal, and her presence pushed it further left. Are we seeing anyone like her on the extreme end of the political spectrum running this time around?
Not really. There's not really anyone who's quite like her. Most of the candidates are left or center left. There are some outliers. The vast majority of people are sticking to a pretty standard Seattle profile, fairly progressive to varying degrees. One of the people that does stand out to me is Ty Reed. She's running again in your district, Trish, in District 5, because everyone's running in District 5. She's a Black woman. She's a millennial. She's the former campaign manager to Nicole Thomas Kennedy. That was a police abolitionist who ran unsuccessfully against Ann Davison a couple years ago.
Yep.
Now, Reed, she did not say anything about abolishing or defunding the police. She didn't use those phrases. She didn't even use the word police when we talked. She currently works as an advocate for homeless and low-income people. And her top issue in the campaign is stopping homeless encampment sweeps and stopping austerity cuts to the city budget.
I'm sure that's on a lot of people's lists, the homelessness crisis. Kat, you know, I want to go back to Councilmember Sawant. As the lone socialist on the council who's leaving, I am curious what it says about the state of the Socialist Party in the city that no one is even close to being as politically extreme as Sawant was.
You know, I did hear from a handful of candidates that the political rhetoric and the political culture in this town has gotten kind of toxic. And some people did talk about being like friendlier, bringing the tone down a little bit. Not everyone talked about that. But honestly, there's no one who I talked to who openly identified as a Marxist, at least not when we spoke. For now, it doesn't seem like anyone's repping the hammer and sickle. But on the other hand, you know, there's nobody running up on City Hall in a MAGA cap either.
Interesting. Really interesting. You talked to candidates about their top issues. What were the most common answers, Kat?
Yeah. So I asked all the candidates what their top three issues are in this election. And overwhelmingly, they said housing. That was the top one. Over and over again, they talked about how expensive it is to buy, how expensive it is to rent, how much new housing stock we need and don't have. It's something weighing heavily on just about everyone's mind. Homelessness was also a top issue that's deeply entwined with housing here. But there were many different kinds of views on homelessness, everything from open hostility to unhoused people to very deep compassion toward people experiencing homelessness. Five of the candidates actually told me that they've experienced homelessness or housing insecurity in their own lives directly. A handful of other candidates said that they work in fields that bring them into direct contact with people who are living in homelessness or who have experienced housing insecurity. So these people work in fields like criminal justice, mutual aid, advocacy groups. So it's a big issue on people's mind.
Kat, we've also heard an awful lot about public safety. That is top of mind for so many people in this city.
Yep. And that was one of the main issues that I heard over and over again from the candidates. But, you know, no one outright said that they either wanted to take funding directly away from the police or get rid of the police department altogether. I sometimes felt like candidates were being a little guarded when talking about the police. And a handful of candidates were trying to like thread the needle on policing. They were trying to hold space for two ideas about the police at the same time, which I thought was interesting. On the one hand, they were saying, you know, the police department here in Seattle, it's understaffed and they want more police in the department. And on the other hand, they're also calling for things like reforming the police department, repairing community trust in the department, or even funding non-police intervention services.
The conversation around policing is one of the trickiest in the city, Kat. And quite frankly, the defund movement did not go well for the council. So it's not even surprising that none of the candidates wants to mention that word. What was the wildest idea you heard from a candidate? Somebody's got to be out there with something interesting.
Yeah, buckle up. There's some fun ones in here. One guy wants an income tax in Seattle, which, you know, our state doesn't have an income tax. The Constitution is pretty strict on this point. Another woman said that she wants to house homeless people in shipping containers.
Interesting.
Sure how that's going to go or where they're going to go.
I have seen them used as shelter in other cities experimentally.
Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
This one was interesting. This one was very different. One guy wants to use artificial intelligence to analyze our tax code to find the areas where we're being the least efficient and try to get the most bang for our buck using AI. This same candidate, he also wants to put a smartphone in the hands of every resident, particularly homeless and low-income people. He said, you know, when you don't have a smartphone, you can't access services and you can't really participate in civic life. A couple people were very explicitly running on a platform to limit what they call government overreach in public health crises. So we're talking about vaccine mandates here.
Yep.
These people aren't explicitly anti-vax, but they are anti-vaccine mandates. One of the two said that she was actually the organizer of a bunch of anti-lockdown protests in Seattle. Now, look, these mandates no longer exist. The COVID crisis is pretty much over, according to state and federal officials. So it is unclear how these platforms are going to play in 2023, but it's out there.
Okay. All right. You know, incumbents have a pretty clear advantage in city council races, Kat, but this year there are four open seats where incumbents are not running. Are we seeing early front runners in any of the races?
Yeah, we are. If we're just talking about fundraising dollars, District 1, that includes like West Seattle. The front runner there in terms of fundraising dollars is Rob Sacca. He's raised over $70,000, way more than his next opponent. Sacca's a first-time candidate. He's a tech lawyer. He's Black. He's a veteran of the U.S. Air Force. And remember earlier I mentioned that some of the candidates are trying to thread the needle on policing. Sacca is one of those candidates. He said he wants to both fully fund the Seattle Police and also push for reforms within the department. Mm,
definitely trying to thread the needle there.
So then District 3, that includes Capitol Hill in the Central District, where there's also no incumbent there. The leader is Joy Hollingsworth. Now, going into the Memorial Day weekend, she's raised also a ton of money, almost $90,000. And you might recognize Joy's name. She's the granddaughter of local civil rights leader Dorothy Hollingsworth. Joy's also a first-time candidate. She's a Black woman. She's queer. She runs one of the only Black-owned cannabis businesses in the state. District 4 includes the University District, Ravenna, Sandpoint. The front runner here is someone named Ken Wilson. He's raised over $70,000. Ken Wilson is white. He is a civil engineer. He's a small business owner. And he told me that one of his younger siblings has struggled with homelessness and addiction for much of his life. And those struggles have rippled throughout the family as they've tried to rally around him and help. Ken Wilson says the issues of homelessness and addiction are very close to his heart as a result. And he actually ran for council back in 2021 against Teresa Mosqueda. He did not win, but he's trying again.
All right. All right. And of course, my district, where we have 10 people running, District 5.
Okay. District 5, North Seattle. This is the most chaotic district right now. And thoughts and prayers to you, Trish, and everyone in your district. There's not really a super clear front runner in this district yet. And I think that's just because there are so many candidates. Mm-hmm. It's really splitting the difference. The person who's fundraised the most, it's like less than $30,000. So we're still really early in this race. And District 5, it's anyone's race right now. One thing I want to point out is that you mentioned districts with incumbents. So one of the districts with an incumbent running, District 2, the incumbent is not the fundraising leader. And I thought that was really interesting. In District 2, that includes the Chinatown International District. It stretches all the way down to Columbia City and Rainier Beach. In that district, Tammy Morales is the incumbent, but Tanya Wu is out fundraising her by like $25,000.
How interesting. The CID has been getting a lot of attention lately, and maybe that's part of the reason.
I think so. You know, Tanya Wu has successfully led protests in that district. You know, one of the protests last year got a lot of press. It ended up helping to block a large homeless shelter expansion in that neighborhood.
The light rail fight.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, Tanya Wu, she talked to my colleague, KUOW reporter David Hyde, and Tanya Wu said that the people in her district don't feel like their voices are being heard. That's a dig at the incumbent. They're not being heard. And, you know, she's positioning herself as the answer to that.
Really interesting. All right. Well, what comes next? How long do people have to read up on candidates in their district?
We've got plenty of time. There's a couple months. Ballots don't go out until like mid-July. Primary election is August. general election is in November. 45 candidates are going to get whittled down to 14 this summer, and then we'll have to pick among the 14 in November.
All right. Well, get your voter pamphlet party ready. Kat, before I let you go, district chaos ranking. Go.
It's got to be District 5.
All right.
District 5 all day. I don't know what's going on there. 10 is so many. The next highest district has 8 candidates. 8's a lot. 10's a lot. I can't handle it. I like District 2 because at least there's only a couple people running. There's only 3 people running. It's easier to get a handle on what's happening. 10 is a lot, man. Yeah. Primary season is like the Thunderdome.
2 men enter. 1 man leaves. 2 men enter. 1 man leaves.
Get your voting party ready. Kat Smith is the politics editor at KUOW. Really appreciate it. Thanks so much. Thanks for untangling some of this big election.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Seattle Now. Today's episode was produced by Claire McGrain, who is thankful she only has to research 4 city council candidates in her district. Our stellar production team also includes Caroline Chamberlain Gomez, Jenny Cecil Moore, Brooklyn Jamerson Flowers, Vaughn Jones, and Brandy Fullwood. Matt Jorgensen does our theme music. Seattle Now and KUOW Public Radio are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Patricia Murphy. See you tomorrow.